tremendous blessing you have been to me and to Janet, and we have enjoyed so much coming over and fellowshipping with you and joining in these services. I was driving in my bus. I drive a school bus over on the mainland. I think it was a week or so ago, listening to a news report. And in the list of items that was being reported on, the man said that the consumer debt in Canada is up over 60%, and some are struggling so much with the personal debt that they're in, they're considering suicide. He just kind of, you know, kept on going with the next items, and I, you know, I kept thinking about that. Can you imagine in our own country, with as much prosperity and wealth that we enjoy and opportunity, over 60% of the people that live around us are struggling with debt, and many would be so bound by, you know, what they're experiencing that they're considering suicide. I remember some years ago thinking about issues like that in society and looking at the church and asking God, why doesn't the church grow more? Why don't we see more fruit? And as I pondered that question, I just sensed the response coming back to me with a question. Why don't you not worry so much about the church? Why don't you concern yourself with the fruit from your own life? Oh, now wait a minute here. Hold on. The Apostle Paul with the Corinthian church, he talks about godly sorrow. And what a wonderful thing it is in confession and repentance to allow God by His Holy Spirit to lead us through an issue like that. And I began, you know, to ponder that. And God, in His grace, responds to me and says, you know, you should be more fruitful. But He says, I know that. And I love you. And beyond that, if you trust me and listen to me, I'll be happy to show you how you can be more fruitful in your life and successful and overflow. And I want to talk about that this morning. I hope you've got an outline. The Bible has so much to say about God's plan for us, and this idea of overflow and fruitfulness. And I've got a couple of different approaches to life, a couple of different mindsets. The first one is a shortage mindset. And the shortage mindset says, you can see the blank there, I never have enough and I never will. I never have enough and I never will. I'm overwhelmed. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough energy and contacts, whatever it is. I just feel like I'm running late and I'm overwhelmed. The Bible talks about lacking and wanting and needing. And the focus here is I just never have enough resources. You kind of look at life as if it's like a pie. And there's only so many slices to go around. And if I don't get my slice, then I'm going to be left out. So I better get in there and get it, or I'm just not going to get what I'm interested in. And when you approach life this way, it leads to envy and jealousy and resentment and worry and insecurity. The shortage mindset. But God talks about another kind of mindset or approach to life, and that's the surplus mentality. And it says, God has more than I will ever need. He's never going to run out. Now think about it for a moment. Well, we think we have to fight for pieces of pie. God makes the pie. He's the pie factory. And He can create pie after pie after pie. And it's not a problem for Him. He's never going to run out. And so we find words like abundance and plentiful and abounding in the Scriptures. There's that great Psalm, Psalm 23, and in verse 5, you're familiar with that phrase. My cup is full to overflowing. I think the King James Version says, my cup runneth over. It spills over. And when he's talking here about the cup, he's talking about our lives. David says, and our lives just spill over, and that's what his experience was. And he says, my cup is just running over. Jesus talked about it 2,000 years after David in that verse in John chapter 7. It says there in the last day of the festival, Jesus stood up and he shouted, if you are thirsty, then come to me and drink. Everyone who really believes in me will have rivers of living water. Here it comes again, flowing out of their lives. An overflowing life is being filled beyond capacity with an endless supply of the goodness of God. Filled beyond capacity with an endless supply of the goodness of God. And that's what we're after. The Bible uses this metaphor of the cup over and over again. A cup of joy and peace and blessing and hope and salvation. And God wants to pour this out in our lives because He's such a good God. Look at this verse in Isaiah. I am the Holy God who rescues you. For your own good I teach you and I lead you along the right path. How I wish that you would have obeyed my commands. Then your success and good fortune would have overflowed like a flooding river. God says, it's for your own good. It's not for my own good. And you see there, he says, I wish that you would have obeyed my commands that we find in the Scripture. And isn't that a fundamental problem? We all think that we know what's better for us than anybody else. But God knows what's best for us even better than we know or think or imagine. And sometimes we get that confused and we take the reins and we start running into all these problems and stress and burdens and failure and all the rest of it. And God says, I'm doing this for your own good. I'm a loving Heavenly Father. And anytime you just try to do it on your own and don't trust, you're going to run into trouble. Look at Jesus in His words in John 10:10. I've come that you may have life and enjoy it to abundance, to the fullest, until it, here's the word again, overflows. That's what God is interested. So if you flip that outline over, I would like to ask that question, how can I experience this overflowing life? Not the shortage mindset, the surplus mindset. What can I do to get in step with what God is wanting for me so that I can experience this this overflow? John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you stay connected to me, you'll produce a lot of fruit. But you cannot do anything without me. I'm no farmer, but I do know enough that if a branch of grapes is not connected to the vine, it's going to die. And that's what Jesus says here to us. Anytime we are not connected to the vine, then we are going to be unplugged and we won't have power. And how do we stay connected? We do that through prayer and scripture and meditation. Last time I was here, we talked about the Lord's Prayer and how Jesus encouraged us to pray in private and to pray specifically and sincerely. And I challenged all of us then to write our prayers out and to use the type of formula that Jesus suggested, where these different elements of adoration and confession and thanksgiving, supplication, we're going through these things sincerely on a regular basis. Look at this other verse in John 15:7-11. Jesus says, if you stay connected to me and my words remain in you, you can ask any request you like and it will be granted. My true disciples will bear much fruit. That brings glory to my Father. So stay connected to my love. And you stay connected to my love when you obey me. I've told you this so that you will be filled with joy. And your cup of joy will overflow. I don't know if any of you have tried meditation. You know, when we think of meditation, we think of saying, The kind of meditation that I'm talking about is where we look at Scripture and we're not rushed and we're not in a hurry, but we take enough time to let it penetrate and sink in. Might be just a single thought or a single verse. Some of us are pros at this already. Does anybody know how to worry? When something comes up in our lives and it is very, very troubling, what do? We fret about it over and over and over again. It's so easy to do. And worry doesn't do us any good, because once we're done worrying, it hasn't changed anything. But if you meditate and let God speak to you and get His word or a thought or whatever He's wanting to say to you, and the Holy Spirit helps us to get to where we need to be. Somehow it all fits and clicks when we need it. We meditate on it over and over, and all of a sudden, we start looking at our situation and our circumstances differently. And it changes. It works. And we pray. Same thing is true with Thanksgiving. Are there any gripers and complainers out there? Don't look at my wife right now, because it's not going to be good. griping and complaining, it does not do any good. But scientists are telling us that there is oxytocin, I believe, is what is released inside of us. They call it a good hormone. When we are thankful, when we take time to be thankful for what's going on in our lives and express it in our own hearts, this hormone is released. It's a positive thing. Thanksgiving works. Griping and complaining doesn't work. And so we pray and we take time to pray. And God is able to speak to us. Some of us say, you know, I do a lot of praying and I don't see a lot happening in my life. Well, if I'm understanding what Jesus is saying here, he's saying it's because you're not connected. And when's the last time you spent the time alone with God? More than just a couple of minutes or a regular routine where we just kind of rotely go through one end and out the other. And I shared with you last time that this is an area that I'm continuing to grow in. And when we stay connected, God is able to do amazing things. When we pray and ask specifically, He answers, and we start moving from the shortage mindset into that surplus, and He starts pouring out His blessing. Here's the second thing. Stop comparing and start being content. Stop comparing and start being content. I failed to write this verse, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. I didn't get it in the outline there. But if you look that up, the Bible says, anytime I compare myself with someone else, it's foolish. It's foolish to compare yourself to somebody else. God hasn't made any clones. Each of us are unique. Each of us are here for a reason and a purpose. And we do ourselves a great disservice when we start comparing ourselves to others. You see that verse in Proverbs. It's healthy to be content, but envy will eat you up. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul says, "Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Comparing ourselves to others doesn't do us any good. But when we realize who we are in Christ and allow our minds to be renewed, we can step out of that rat race that's so easy to get sucked into with advertising and what's going on. Sometimes we go on Facebook and we see what our friends or somebody else is doing and we start thinking, boy, he bought that? I'd kind of like to have that. Or he's doing that, she's doing that? Boy, it would be kind of nice if I could do that too. And we compare and the Bible says it's not wise to do that. Instead, realize you can just be content in who you are. And anything you need, God is going to give it to you anyway. And you don't have to struggle. He'll provide it out of this surplus that we're talking about this morning. Paul said in Philippians, "I've learned to be content. It's was not a natural thing for him, and it's not a natural thing for us to be content in our own natural state. But Paul says, I've learned to be content. And all of those negative things that we stress out about, jealousy and resentment and insecurity and feeling unloved, all of these feelings, guilty, those things can be unlearned as well. They're learned, they can be unlearned. And that's what God is helping us to do. Isn't it amazing how some of the richest people in the world are the first ones to say that my money does not bring me happiness? Because I just have to have more. I never have enough. Okay, let's add one more. Stop comparing and start being content. The third one is stop being stingy and start being generous. If you want to move from the overwhelmed type of feeling to this overflow or this fruitfulness, I can't say how important this third point is. From being overwhelmed all the time to being overflowing. Stinginess is a sign of the shortage type of mentality. But God does not operate that way. He hasn't a shortage is so foreign to Him. He operates the universe with a law where He can create something out of nothing. It's not a problem for Him. And so when it comes to us being generous with our time, with our money, with our energy, whatever it might be, if we need more of it, He can provide it for us. And we can be generous. And when we're generous, that's a key to this overflow being released. Look at this verse from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Remember this, a stingy planter will only reap a small crop, but anyone who sows generously will also reap generously. So each should give serious consideration to what they want to give. Not reluctantly or under pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. And you can be sure, now listen to these, God is able to bless you with all of His grace, so that in all things, at all times, you will always have all that you need, and you'll also overflow, so you can give to every good work. Not under pressure or guilt, but we can just give of our time and resources. What a promise. I shared this story last time I was here with some of you. It wasn't during the message time, but I thought I would share it this morning. When I was here in November, I got back home. I went to drive the bus on Monday morning. And one of my buddies said, what did you do for the weekend? I said, well, there's a church over in Duncan. I went over and I was preaching. And he said, you were preaching? He said, boy, I'd love to hear that. I'm not exactly sure what he was saying by that. So he said, do you have a CD or something I can listen to? And I say, well, I think they have it on the website, the church website, if you want to listen to it. So he listened to it, and we were talking about prayer in that message, and God spoke to him. After Christmas, he was playing hockey. He's a hockey player. And in between one of the periods, he didn't feel right. He went into the dressing room, and one of his friends followed him in. he had a heart attack. And the doctors told him he had 2 hours. He was within the 2 hours of dying. And they worked the treatment for him when he was there, and they saved him, fortunately. But it shook him up. God was already doing some things in his life. So he was in the hospital, and I went down to the hospital. This was during the winter, just after Christmas. We had a pretty difficult winter, as you recall. And I was having some difficulty at work, and there were some other pressures going on. So I didn't have a lot of time, and I didn't feel like it. I got down to the hospital, and I said, is Larry here? And they said, we don't have any Larry here. I got the wrong hospital. So the next day, I found out where he was. And again, this time I really didn't want to go. But you get that little voice that says, you know, you've got to go. So I went down to the hospital and found Larry there. He was getting ready for he had two procedures, two stents that they put in to open these arteries up. And he said, you know, I'm in the hospital, and I can't do much. And somebody suggested that I just pray for one thing a day. So he said, today's prayer was that somebody would come here to talk about spiritual things. And, you know, here you are. So we had a great time talking about that. But I was driving home in the car, and I thought, you know, this is amazing. When this type of thing happens, and it's a part of this overflow that I'm starting to experience more and more in my life. And I want to challenge you to consider how you might see some more overflow in your life this morning. A few years ago, we have two boys. And they came to Janet and me and said, we've got a new diet plan. And I said, oh, great. We've got to cut out this and this and this and this. So I reluctantly went along with the plan. And now, a few years later, it has been amazing what it's done in our family. We've been healthier and don't get sick as much. And I had to give up a lot of things that I like to eat. By the way, once a week, we get to eat whatever we want. So it's a good plan. But the rest of the week, I had to give up a lot of stuff that I thought we were doing pretty good. But we had to give a lot of this stuff up, and I didn't think it was going to work. And I wouldn't want to go back to the way it was before, because, you know, we've got adjusted to eating new things. Things taste better, and it's been great. And I thought, if that can happen with a simple eating plan that somebody's come up with, imagine what God could do for us if we simply waited and asked Him, what kind of blessing do you want to pour into my life? What does He have out there for us if we paused for a moment this morning and thought, you know what, I'm going to look at my prayer life, and I'm going to stay connected to Jesus. I'm going to stop comparing myself to others, and I'm going to be more generous. What kind of blessing would God want to pour into your life today?